get started, if you would, turn your Bibles to Psalm 65. I was here a couple of weeks ago, and I want to finish up if I can. Psalm 65. Just read the first 8 verses again. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me, as for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things and righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Every day. What I'm speaking on, I want to continue on in Psalms 65, verse 4, of course. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causeth to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house and even of thy holy temple. Now, last time I talked about God choosing from the beginning. That's what it states. From before the foundation of the world, this choice is over. Amen. And we make the statement, and it's true to the extent that it's true, which is scriptural, that what God has done, God is doing, and what God is doing, he's going to continue to do. Well, now, as far as this choice is made, that choice is done.
Yes, it's done.
There's no more choosing now. That choice is done. That choice is complete. That choice was in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now the results continue on. Because it starts with, he chose, but it continues on, he causes to approach. And what I was speaking on was cause and effect. Now, I stated last time about the actions that result from God's choice. And the first thing I listed, because the first thing that always comes first, is God's actions that result from God's choice. He causeth.
Yeah.
Now, how does he cause? Well, let's see. I actually had it written down because I don't trust my memory anymore. God's choice causes life. God's choice causes faith. God's choice causes understanding. God's choice causes believing. And God's choice causes our hope in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, what I want to talk about is our approach. And I really like how David wrote this. Because David didn't write, David in his day, at his time, the approach was a little different. Now you're still approaching unto the Messiah, unto Christ, no one else. But David, in his day, they took sacrifices. They took a lamb to a priest, and that lamb was offered. They took a bullock. They took a dove. They waved sheaves. They did that. And if they did it in faith, in the one sacrifice that was to come, that was the way you approached God in those days. Amen. That was the knowledge they had. That was the ordained way that God had provided. It all looked forward to Lord Jesus Christ. It all pointed toward him. But they actually did it. I remember years ago, I said it to Earl because I got to thinking about it. He had been teaching on it, and I thought, and I looked at Earl one day, and I said, you know, as far as around the temple and stuff, I said, Earl, this wasn't a really pretty religion. Because y'all know my background from the Catholic Church, you know, and I've never been to a big monster cathedral. I've seen some old ones in Europe that were, well, pretty close to monstrosities, if you want to call it that. And I seen a really huge church in Chicago, and they had the big altar and a huge crucifix at the back wall and candles. And I mean, just is a beautiful setting. I mean, it was pleasing to the eye. Well, this back here, in order to worship God, you brought blood to be shed. It wasn't pretty. And Earl looked at me and he said, no, it was a butcher shop. That's what it was. I had a Jewish rabbi tell me that, no, they really didn't kill all those animals back in those days. It was just writing stories about it. And I looked at him like he was an idiot. Because he was, yeah. So you guys get it, you know. I could not believe a rabbi. Now, he was a Reform rabbi, which, you know, you can look up whatever that is. I did once and I've forgotten. It doesn't matter. Definitely he wasn't Orthodox Mason. No. Those days, the approach was through the sacrifice at the temple, through the priest, and at the Day of Atonement, through the high priest. But now we read it and we approach. And the same is true now as it was then. It is God that causes the approach. There were those whose sacrifice was if they slew a dog. Their sacrifice was of no avail. Why? Because God did not cause them to approach. They came in their own pride, their own whatever, to be seen of men. But here, and that's why I like, we need to approach God. But we can only approach God if he's caused it.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can. And that approach is because of his choice. And it results in our actions also. Not only God's actions, but our actions. We do approach. Because of him. Because of him. Because the only way I can approach starts with the first thing that God causes, which is life. A dead man is not going anywhere. A dead man is never going to approach God or anything else for that matter. Because a dead man is dead. In order to approach, this is step one. In order to approach, you must be alive. And life comes from God. He will walk by and he will see you polluted in your own blood and say unto you, live, or you will remain dead. That's it. Dead men do not approach. The natural man, which is the dead man, hates the light. Mm-hmm. And not only hates the light, he loves the darkness. Yeah. They've got no impetus to go anywhere anyway. Yeah. I was happy where I was, for the most part. Something had to change in me, and it was life from God. Before I ever had any thoughts of God, of any value. I had thoughts of God, but they were of no value. You know, I thought good guys always won in the end. And I was hoping I might be one of the good guys. I might not see the end, but I always hoped the good guys won in the end. That's all right. I've read the end now. And the good man's already won. He's seated at the right hand of the Father right now, and he's coming back. But life always comes first. And that comes because God causes. This life was because of God's choice, and this choice was made from the beginning. And this is why Christ told his disciples when he looked at them and said, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." They didn't choose him. I didn't choose him.
Right.
I approached unto him. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he caused me to. He backed me into a corner. I had nowhere to go. That leads to the second thing. We approach by faith. Life comes first, but it doesn't stay by itself. It's his faith which he gives. Do I need to really say that? Well, maybe not here. But I like saying it. Faith is the gift of God. Faith is the fruit of the Spirit. Faith is not of man. All men have not faith. And I don't care what any other preacher says in any other place, at any other time, or any other time in the future. That's why the people of God who believe are persecuted, because Paul said it, all men have not faith. Galatians 2 and verse 20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I live, yet not I. Do you know that feeling? Do you know that feeling of two natures in you? The nature of the Spirit and the nature of the flesh. The flesh is mine. I own it. I'm not happy with it, but I own it. But right now, the life I have, and I do have life right now in him, I live by the faith of the Son of God, not the faith of Joe Galuzic. It's his faith. He's the author and the finisher of it. It's his faith. He's given it to him, to me. He's given it to every one of his children that he's called. But it's still his faith. And it causes me to approach him. Even though it is my life and my faith, I have this life and this faith, but I only have it in him who loved me and gave himself for me. Romans 5 and 2 states that by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. By whom is our Lord Jesus Christ. But we have access. We can approach him. And we do approach him by faith. we've not received again the spirit of bondage unto fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. And the only reason you can cry, Abba, Father, is if the Lord chose and the Lord causeth you to approach. We come by faith, we come in faith, we come in repentance. We come believing. We do believe. Believing in our Lord Jesus Christ, believing our Lord Jesus Christ, believing of our Lord Jesus Christ, and believing His gospel. His works, His life, His death, and His resurrection. I believe Him. I love Him. I love Him. I love that He has saved me, that He gave me life, that He gave me faith, that He gave me knowledge, that He gave me understanding. Well, you sound like salvation is all of God. Well, yes. Yes, it is. That was actually the point of this whole sermon. He says it in the next verse. I'll jump ahead just to read it. O God of our salvation. As if the causing of the approach didn't give you a hint somewhere. But we do come, we do approach through His gospel, which He will hear. That's the way God has appointed us to learn of Him in this day. The good news of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that as David was looking forward to that Messiah coming, we are looking back to when He came. And what He did, and what He is doing now. His gospel. You will hear His gospel. And you will believe His gospel. Because He's going to cause you to approach, and that's the approach. That's the approach. I've got nothing else. If you want to, you can disregard me as much as you want. I won't say a thing. Well, she might, but I won't. I'm serious. You can disregard me as much, but don't disregard this word. Amen. Don't disregard this book. Don't disregard His gospel. Because His gospel does say that it's done. And by faith, in faith, through faith, His faith, I believe. His gospel. I believed it when I heard a woman tell me about it. I believed it when I heard Henry Mahan preach it on cassette, on TV. I believed it when I tried to tell Walter about it. I believed it when I heard Earl Cochran preach it. I believed it last week when I heard Walter preach it. And I believe it today. I believe Him. And that's the next point. The way we approach unto God is continually. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. Those chosen will approach and dwell. Dwell. Now, I don't know how many years ago this was written, but that was written in the present tense. Thousands of years ago. Guess what? You read it today, it's still in the present tense. Because if you're not dwelling now, you never have dwelled. If you're not dwelling, abiding, living, continually, you never have. That's it. Well, it can't be that simple. Well, yeah, it is, and it's not all at the same time. But that's what I mean by continually. I dwell in his courts now. I believe I began to dwell in his courts 33 years ago now. But I'm still here. And I was listening, Walter, on the way up, I grabbed that CD of Henry Mahan's about public worship. And you know what? We rejoiced all the way up here. Listening to him talk about coming to a place like this where we can gather together. And this is part of dwelling in his courts.
Yes, it is.
This is what it's talking about. This is part of approaching him. That's also still in the present tense. It doesn't stop. And if it stopped for you, you don't want to approach, you don't want to dwell, you can go. I mean, we had some people walk out last Sunday. And I'm not saying anything any different this week than I said last week. And we've had people walk out of here. I was going through those pictures that I got gathered together for Jeannie. And I'd see a picture and, oh yeah, they're not here anymore. And oh yeah, they're not here anymore. And oh yeah, they're not here anymore. But there's Jack and Ellen and Penny and there's Mason and there's Neil and there's Edie and there's David and there's Rid and Paul's still here, Mac's still here. It's like, why do we come here? Week after week, year after year. I hope it's because we want to be here. We want to assemble ourselves together. We want to worship God. That's why I come. I don't have to stand here to do this. I mean, I'm happy just to come and sit down. But I've got three words for you that say that basically I probably need to be here. And those three words are John chapter 5. I told Walter this on the phone the other day. I've never seen that happen. We've never had that happen before to where I preached in John chapter 5 twice and he preached right after me, then the next verse down. That's spooky. And we never said a word to anybody about it. I'm serious, we never talked to anybody. That bothered me. And it did it once, but not twice. So evidently, I'm supposed to be here and I'm supposed to be doing this, and this is what I'm doing. I want to approach unto him and I want to dwell in his courts.
Yes.
I want to dwell in his courts forever.
Amen.
Who said that? I think the same guy wrote this. That's what I want. And if he doesn't cause it, if he didn't choose it, I'm not going to do it. But if he chose it, if he chose me, he's going to cause me to approach and he's going to cause me to dwell.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, we do things. We do actually do things. I had to drive up here and I had to buy gas. Now, God gave me the money for the gas and all that stuff and the car and my wife who let me drive it. But it's because of him. That I approach. It's because of him that I dwell.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to take the credit, but it is because it is he that maketh thee both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Yeah.
And guess what? That's a result of his choice. Cause and effect. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's Psalms 23 and verse 6. Then he gets to Psalm 65 and he tells us how. God's going to cause it. God's going to cause you. He's not going to cause it, he's going to cause you. It's personal. Excuse me. Romans 11 verse 29 says this, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Now, I do know the context of that verse, but I don't care right now. That context is true. But I'm going to tell you this. Any of his gifts and any of his calling is without repentance. Every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. And guess what? It's without repentance. He is the Lord that does not change. Therefore, I am not consumed. If it was up to me, I would be consumed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. You know, Walter, I got thinking last night. It's very easy not to have to change. All you have to do is never make a mistake. That's him. That ain't me. That's him. What God does, it's forever. Nothing can be put to it. Nothing can be taken from it. God does it. And he's causing his people to approach unto him and dwell in his courts. And nothing can be put to that. And nothing can be taken from that. Because it's God that does it. We dwell in his good, in his courts at his good pleasure. And in his good pleasure. And I said it last week. I'll close with this. All of this stuff that I wrote, that's talked about here, everything, God's choice, God's cause, our approach, and our dwelling. But it's the man that he may dwell in thy courts. Then you get to this last little bit of this verse, and I love this, I do. We. It changes.
Right.
It changes from he to we. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to tell you, the causing and approaching, the initial causing and approaching, which has got to happen to every child of God to become a son of God. That's the spirit of adoption.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You're going to approach. Yes. You're going to dwell. And you're going to do it individually.
Yeah.
It's personal. It is personal. It is. I did not consult with anybody as far as my calling on God. He scared me so bad, that spirit of fear, that I had nowhere else to go. But once I went to him, I found I was not alone anymore.
There you go.
Yeah. Amen.
God has a people. God has his family, and he just adopted me into the family. He just made me a son,
yeah.
An adult son, and caused me to approach unto him. And I dwell in his courts, and I found out, you know, in his courts, there are others.
There are others. That's it.
There are others.
They
were there long before me, some of them. Some of them arrived a little after me, some of them. But there are others in his courts.
Yes.
There are others in his temple.
Mm-hmm.
We shall be satisfied with the goodness of, that's still his house, thy house, even of thy holy temple. I said it 2 weeks ago, I'll say it again. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And that's one thing I can say about this group. Y'all don't. When we assemble, you're here. Now, the reason I can say that is because I'm here. And for some reason, if I'm not here, Walter tells me who's gone. And if Walter and I speak in between, he asks, the last, when you weren't here, the first thing he asked, who was there? And I told on you. He's my preacher. I can't lie to you. He's my elder. We're not alone.
No, we're not alone.
Last week, the fellowship, the partnership, and literally the participation.
Yes.
I like that. I do. I like that word, participation. I didn't know that was the literal translation of it. Because I am a participant in the gospel of my Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so are you.
Yeah.
Each and every one of you in him.
That's part of the approach.
And that's part of dwelling.
That's good.
I like that. I do. That's a blessing from God. Blessed is the man. It's not just the choosing. Ooh, it's the approaching. It's the dwelling. And it's the satisfying.
Satisfaction. Yeah.
Satisfy.
Yeah.
Oh, thou God of my salvation. I'm going to let you preach that. We did talk this week. But I told him, I said, it's right here after. Oh, thou God of our salvation. Now, there's a lot of... There's a lot of dissatisfaction with the flesh.
Sure. Sure.
But I am satisfied with him.
Yeah. Amen.
That's where my satisfaction is.
Yeah.
It's not in me. It's not in my feelings. It's not, and we've got illnesses and sicknesses going galore right now. But my satisfaction and my approach and my dwelling does not depend upon my circumstance.
Amen. Amen.
It doesn't. Exactly. And it never has.
Exactly right.
I am his when I am at my most miserable.
Yes. Yes.
More importantly, to me, he is mine.
Yes.
When I, because he's allowed me to say that.
Yes.
That's part of that Abba, Father. He's mine, and I'm his.
Yeah.
Sure, he started it. Well, and caused it. And continues it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's mine, because he did it.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with me. But boy, I sure can enjoy it.
Yeah.
I can take pleasure in it.
Yes.
And by his grace, sometimes I can proclaim it. He is the God of our salvation. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place. Most of all, thankful to you who sent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and who willingly came and obediently performed the will of the one who sent him. And gave himself perfect sacrifice, perfect substitution, perfect offering for our sin, our transgressions, our falling short. And you have accepted him, and in him we are accepted and caused to approach unto thee. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.